You awake out there? That's one of those songs. I remember high school, college, and it would come on the radio. For you young ones, that's how we listen to music a lot of times. But you'd crank it up, unroll the windows so everybody could hear it. And yeah, that was a jam out song. So now today we're going to find out that Samson, he was looking for adventure. And he was born to be wild, it seems. His story, it's recorded Judges 13th chapter through the 16th. If you haven't had a chance to read the story, I'd really encourage you, because we're not going to be able to cover it all on Sunday morning. But Samson is a biblical bodybuilder, you might say. He's the strongest man that had ever lived. And he had kind of reached what I would call superhero status. And so his accomplishments were legendary. His physical strength, of course, unmatched. But the problem was he had all this strength, but he had a very weak will. And that's the thing that things would get really wild in his life because of that. And this week, we're going to kind of cover some new territory, but last week we discovered that Samson had been anointed by God. He was born with unbelievable God-given potential. In fact, so much so that his birth was announced by an angel. And so you get the idea right away that Samson is special, all right? And he was born to deliver Israel from the Palestinians. They were dominating him at the time. And he was set apart to serve God, to be raised as a Nazirite. And you might remember, and we talked about this last week, that Nazirite vow really required three main things. There was more than that, but these were the main ones: that he couldn't touch anything that was dead because it was considered unclean. And he couldn't touch anything with grapes, anything made with grapes, things like wine and liquor. And he was to never cut his hair. And so these vows, you got to understand, didn't have any inherent power. But they were simply outward signs of an inward commitment that he had to God. It's a little bit like, you know, my wedding ring. Nothing special, but it is an outward sign of a deep love and commitment that I have for my wife, Cindy. You know, last week we left off, and you might remember Samson's a young man at that point. He's kind of declaring his independence, and he went down to Timnah. And we don't know why he went, but we know that he's there. And we know that he's hanging out with the wrong crowd, and he's in the wrong places. And it changed the whole trajectory of his life. Samson went down, and I've said this many times, down is down. Down always takes you down. You know, he is primed to be a great leader. God's spirit rests on Samson. And he has this gift, that he has this incredible strength. He's anointed. He's supposed to deliver Israel from the Philistines, and he's supposed to bring justice to the land. Samson had all of this God-given potential, but he had a weakness. And it seriously messed him up, and it made things go really wild in his life. You know, the fact is, a lot of people do this, don't they? They do the same thing. They so much potential, and then they squander it by a bad decision, a stupid choice. The fact is, friends, I can't even tell you how many times I've watched people that were strong, but they were so weak. They were great leaders, like at work. You know, they're aggressive, they're type A personalities, they're structured and disciplined, and they spend a lot of time thinking about business, take great care in all the decisions that they make. But then when it comes to personal life, well, things are kind of wild, kind of off the chart, so to speak. Instead of being a leader at home, they become very weak, very passive. And I'm going to stereotype, and I know you can't just stereotype because there's always exceptions, but overarching, I know a lot of men this way. You know, they're kind of hands-off at home. They don't really lead their family. You know, they're great leaders at work, but at home, you got commitment one place and then very uncommitted somewhere else. And I know some that are committed in their lives, and they're very committed to, like, their finances or their career or some hobby. And they're very regimented and disciplined, but they can't commit when it comes to a relationship, or they can't commit in some area of life. I know people who will study and research just about everything in their life. You know, they spend weeks reading magazines and books and, you know, blogs, and they're trying to figure out what TV to buy, you know, or what rod and reel they're going to purchase. But they can't spend 5 minutes, you know, reading God's word, trying to figure out what God's will might be for their life. I know men that they love God, they love their wives, and yet there's a weakness in them that has them in a prison of lust in their lives. You know, so much potential, but at the same time, very destructive stuff going on. You know, bad decisions after bad decisions after bad decisions. I've seen lots of people through the years that they were strong in a lot of areas, and yet they crash and burn because they're weak in some area. You know, so much potential just wasted. And what we're going to find that Samson is going to show us, and I'm going to kind of key in on three areas that we might call them attitudes, perhaps, but attitudes that will make strong people very, very weak. And the first one is lust. Lust makes strong people weak in their life. And I want to kind of define lust. You know, it's when you see something and you desire it. You know, and it's really easy to slip into a pattern of lust. And when you do, what happens is logic goes out the window and things will get really, really wild. You know, I want it. I gotta have it. I'm gonna get it. And maybe it's a sexual thrill. Maybe it's pursuing something that kind of gives you that hit or emotional fix, so to speak. It might be a corner office that you desire, a raise, an advancement. It might be a house or a new car or a boat. It may be something that you want to buy. And I know I can't afford it, but I want it. And I want it when? Now. I know this might destroy my relationship, but I want what I want. I know that this is going to mess things up. You know, but I've got to have it. I know I'm going to be gone a lot from my family, but I want more money. You see how this goes. When lust kicks in, logic goes out, and here's the crazy thing. A wild idea seems like it's okay, because suddenly you are pursuing whatever it is that you want, and you'll pursue it with a reckless abandonment. That's what happened to Samson. You know, when we talked about this last week, but it says Samson went down to Timnah. He saw there a young Philistine woman. When he returned, he said to his father and mother, "I've seen a Philistine woman in Timnah. Now get her for me as my wife." I said last week, it's lust at first sight, apparently, for him. Samson, he leaves his hometown in Zorah. He left his family. He left his friends. He travels to Timnah, and the importance of that is it's an enemy city. He was supposed to deliver them from the Philistines. He's now carousing with them. He's spending time with them. He's starting to adopt some of their ungodly culture in his life, and it's messing him up. You know, a Philistine woman for anyone in Israel would have been out of bounds or forbidden, but he's a leader, supposed to be a spiritual leader for them. And so God wanted him to have a relationship, that was fine, but with someone in the same faith. And so Samson, who's born to deliver Israel, to bring them back to God, the spiritual leader for the country, for the nation, and instead he tosses it to the wind. He says, hey, I don't care. I don't care what my parents think. I don't care what God thinks. In fact, he'll go as far as, I don't care if it's right or not. I have a desire, and I want to marry her. And he goes wild. I mean, this strong man does the weak thing. You know, maybe that kind of strength that he has, lust kicks in. And you know how this goes. If you're not careful, you throw common sense out. I mean, lust can make you weak. Lust is not the only thing that would take Samson and make him weak, but we also know that he had a spirit of entitlement. Now, Samson's parents, they tried to kind of dissuade him, you know, in the relationship, and he wouldn't listen to him. He's kind of headstrong. You know, he believed that it was okay. He deserved what he deserved, and whatever it was that he wanted, that he had earned that right. I work hard. I deserve this. You know, I've sacrificed so much. Well, I got this coming to me. And if you read the story, he goes, it's kind of an in-your-face, I don't care what you think, she's the right one for me because I've decided. You know, that spirit of entitlement, friends, it's a modern-day issue. And in fact, I would argue the spirit of entitlement is destroying the very moral fabric in this nation and in people's lives. You know, you see this kind of unfold in his life, and Samson, it just trips him up. Judges 14, 5 and 6, it says, as they approached the vineyard of Timnah, suddenly a young lion came roaring toward him. The Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him, so that he tore the lion apart with his bare hands, as he might have torn a young goat. But he told neither his father nor his mother what he had done. Samson shouldn't have been in Timnah to start with. But apparently this lion attacks. He kills it with his bare hands. That's not the big problem, but it's a wild story. And the fact is, I believe if it happened today, I think he would have been featured on like William Shatner's The Unexplained, you know, superhuman feats, that it would have been a great story for that. But Samson, because of this, I think he gets kind of cocky about things. Now, I'm just reading that in, but kind of reading between the lines. But it says, sometime later, when he went back to marry her, he turned aside to look at the lion's carcass. This is the same lion that he had killed, apparently sometime back. And in it, he saw a swarm of bees and some honey. He scooped out the honey with his hands and ate it. And as he went along, when he rejoined his parents, he gave them some, and they too ate it, but he did not tell them that he had taken the honey from the lion's carcass. That's nasty. Right? You got this lion's carcass, and the fact is that he's supposed to stay away from dead things, but now we've got him eating honey out of the dead carcass. It's disgusting, in my opinion. Yeah, I remember years ago, I may have shared this before, but there were a couple kids that they would race into church to see me, and they would always be ahead of their parents, and they'd come and find me, and they would either tell me something or give me a hug, or sometimes they'd give me some candy or some gum or something like that. And Nathan, the brother, he was the little guy. And he fed me like soggy Cheerios in the past, and yeah. But one morning, I remember he came in, he's tugging on my pant leg, and so I knelt down, and he shoves a butterscotch in my mouth. And so a few seconds later, Mom comes racing behind him. She goes, "Give me the candy. Where's it at?" And I go, and she goes, "He picked it up in the parking lot, and it wasn't open. It was already opened, and it was like a partial butterscotch, you know." And here's the funny thing. I thought she was going to, like, get sick at that point. It was nasty, just nasty. Samson's eating this honey out of a rotting carcass. Really nasty. But that's not the real problem, the honey. The real issue is he wasn't supposed to touch or be around anything dead. It's part of his Nazirite vow. He rips that lion apart. God gave him the power. But now he's betraying his vows to God. And I read that story and I think, who betrays God for a handful of honey? People do it all the time. Betray God for stupid stuff, sinful stuff. You know, lust, I want it. You know, entitlement. I deserve this. And there's another temptation that comes along, another attitude, I'll say, that make people weak, and that is pride. Pride brings a lot of people down. And you know what pride is? I can handle this. I'll be okay. It's not a deal. I mean, Samson's vow as a Nazirite, don't cut your hair. Don't touch anything dead. Don't have anything to do with grapes or alcohol or anything of that nature. And Samson basically gets an idea. He can handle all kinds of stuff in his life. You know, Judges 14:10, it says, you know, his father went down to see the woman, and there Samson held a feast. See, we can miss this real easy. Held a feast as was customary for young men. There's talking about men getting married. You know, they're planning this wedding. It's party time. Samson, he throws a kegger, so to speak, and he thinks he can handle everything again. You know, his pride takes him to the wild side. You know, his pride, he has all this potential. He goes, "I'm strong. You know, I want it. I deserve it. I deserve to be able to cut loose a little bit in my life. I can handle it." Does that sound familiar? And what happens is, before you realize it, well, it's handling you. It's got you. You know, "I want that new car. I want that house. You know, I want these toys." And suddenly, before you know it, you're drowning in debt because you really can't afford it. You know, "I want to play. You know, I deserve a little bit of diversion in my life. You know, just this once. And then pretty soon you realize it's a downward spiral. and it takes you out. It takes you down, because down's down. You know, I'm strong. I want it. I deserve this. I can handle it. Friends, those are the things that take Samson down. Those are the things that take our hero on this wild ride. And we're going to see at a point that Samson, this strong guy, unbelievable potential. You know, this guy who was born, I mean, he was born to deliver Israel. He's anointed by God. He's got this superhuman strength. And we're going to see his life just spin out. And things get, I mean, they really, really get wild for a while. He's going to end up in chains before it's over, eyes gorged out. He's going to be mocked by the Philistines, the enemy, and basically become a laughingstock. Because of lust, entitlement, and pride, they take him down. And down is what? Down. And my point is, it'll do it to you too. We're all susceptible here. And I know some of you are going, okay, so Damon, what you're saying is I'm going to get my eyes gorged out if I continue doing this. No, I'm not saying that. Don't be silly. It could be much worse. It really could. I mean, if we fast forward 5, 10, 15 years, you know, some of you will look back and go, I can't believe I threw my marriage away for this. You know, I just couldn't admit that I was wrong. You know, what was I thinking? You know, I thought that job was so important. I didn't have time to spend with my family, but look at all the stuff we got, and you're going to look back and go, man, my kids are a mess now. You know, I thought we needed more stuff. And now I got all this stuff, and my kids don't even come around anymore. I didn't think I would get caught. Oh, Satan will lie to you there. And now everybody knows, and it's humiliating. Friends, it's how sin works. Down is always down. You know, it will mess you up, but it does not have to go down that way. It doesn't. You know, as a Christ follower, there is spiritual greatness in you. The power of God is in you. The Holy Spirit, you know, no matter what it is that you're into, no matter what it is that's got you off in left field, you can be transformed. I want you to hear this, that no matter what it is that you're facing, you know, that challenge, that obstacle, you can be strong. And you do not have to do it on your own. You don't have to do it with your own strength. In fact, we should learn like the Apostle Paul. I mean, he was at a low point in strength. And God revealed a very spiritual truth that we need to get a grasp on. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, but he answers me, God's speaking to him, says, my grace is all you need, for my power is greatest when you are what? Weak. That was weak. When you are what?
Weak.
Weak. There you go. That was strong. Satan, the evil one, our spiritual enemy, wants to take you down. He wants to shame you. And he loves to take people that are strong and make you weak so he can break you. But our God loves to take the weak and make them strong. God is with you. God is for you. God is in the midst of whatever it is you're in the midst of, and you find strength when you finally go to God and just say, I'm weak, I'm vulnerable, I need you, help me, Lord, help me. Here's a really wild idea. How about adopting three new kind of attitudes in life? Attitudes that will take you, and although you're weak, they'll make you strong. You know, instead of I want it, you know, lusting after whatever it is, how about I want you, God? That's what I need. I want your daily power. I want your presence, Lord. I want your spirit living inside me. I want your word to guide my path, to help me stay going the right direction. God, I need your Holy Spirit to just prompt me and convict me along the way as I face the challenges of life. I want God. How about that? You know, how about instead of entitlement, you know, I deserve this, I've got this coming to me. Instead of that, first of all, that'll make you weak, really weak. But what if instead you realize I deserve nothing? Absolutely nothing. You know, Scripture says that the wages of sin is death. That's what we deserve. That's what we've earned. That's what we got coming to us. You know, people say to me often, they'll go, you know, God owes me. Really? God does not owe you anything. Nothing. And if you do not figure that out in your life, this world will never make sense to you. You will always be frustrated. You will always feel like I got cheated. And you'll live life with kind of a weakened state of mind. When you realize you're dead because of your sins, when you realize that you need Jesus Christ to save you from your sins, it changes how you think. In fact, it'll change everything in your life. And how about instead of that prideful mentality, I can handle this, I don't need any help, I can do this on my own, how about I can't handle this without God? Friends, because of your relationship with God, you can start evaluating everything, those situations in your life, those circumstances, those challenges. You can look at them differently now. See, the weak becomes strong when you realize, I can't handle this. See, this is very counterintuitive. I can't handle this. I can't handle this without God. See, with God is a game changer. You know, without God, I'm capable of all kinds of ungodly, wild, crazy things. You know, without God, I'm weak, not strong. And if you're going to be strong, you got to admit you're weak at some point. Some of you are locked in a lonely prison right now, because you just can't bring yourself to realize that you need God. I mean, some of you, I guess you need to be so weak that at some point you'll humble yourself and say, I need help, God. You know, you need to be so weak that at some point you're weak enough to just confess your sins. I mean, some of you need to be so weak that you realize you can't move forward, that finally you just go to another brother or sister in Christ and go, I need help. I need your prayers. You know, I need you to hold me accountable in this area. You need to admit you can't make it on your own. if you're going to make it. You need to admit you're in some deep water. I mean, troubling waters at points. You know, you need to just admit that. And admit, God, I need you to strengthen me. I need that. Satan loves. In fact, his mission really is to make strong people weak. Christ followers, I want you to realize there is a spiritual strength in you. You know, the Holy Spirit resides in you, lives in you, and that your God that you serve and that you love enjoys to take the weak and make them strong. And friends, it does not matter where you are. It does not matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what you are facing today, that challenge, that obstacle, that thing that seems too big that you're just not sure you can get through. I mean, the fact is, it may be overwhelming to you. It may seem that way, that there's no way through. But friends, when you admit you're weak, you surrender yourself fully and completely and obediently to God, you find strength to get through. In fact, you'll be surprised what God can do. That's the kind of God we serve. So where do you need strength today? That thing that just popped in your head, that's it. You may have several things. Yeah, I need strength here. I need strength there. Friends, you find strength when you admit you're weak, admit you're over your head, surrender to God. And when you do that, I won't say you'll be like supercharged immediately, but if you keep admitting to God and keep just taking the next step, here's what you find. You get stronger and stronger and stronger because God will make you stronger. It's what God does. And we could go around this morning and I could talk to different people. And they would share the story of how God saw them through something they thought was impossible to get through. And most, if they track it back, they'll go, well, it came at the point that I said, God, I can't do this. I give up. I see no way through. I see no good side to anything. And they admitted that they were weak and they got stronger. That's how it works. So I'm going to pray right now. My guess is for some of you, you've already thought about some challenge in your life, something that just is overwhelming you. For others, it may be some sin that's got its claws in you and you just can't get free. It doesn't really matter. But if there's somewhere you need to be strong and you know it, I'm going to ask you to stand up where you're at. I'm just going to pray for you. And it's an act of faith of just saying, okay, God, I admit I'm weak with this. I can't get through this challenge. I can't get through this obstacle. This is bad, bad, bad. It's got bad written all over it. I need strength to get through. And just stand up and I'm going to pray for you. All right? Weak, but strong. Our holy God, God, you see the individuals here, Lord. And God, I don't know what the situation is, but you do. And God, I pray your Holy Spirit would just breathe your power into their life, that you'd give them vision, that you'd give them hope, that they, by your encouragement, Lord, would find strength God, display your strength in a mighty way for them. Help them to get stronger and stronger. And God, when you see them through, I pray they'd remember that and share that with others. God, I thank you for all the times that the challenge looked too big, totally outgunned or overwhelmed. God, you gave strength. There are many here today that would testify to that. God, we thank you for that kind of love. God, I pray that we would live our lives in a way that's pleasing to you. God, forgive us when we let the evil one get in our head and take us down paths that just mess us up. God, may we please you with everything we say and do. It's in the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. God's people said. Amen. Let's all stand. Let's worship and lift our voice to God.